side, got a man open in the end zone. Stills grabs a touchdown. Kenny Stills, what a pair of hands.
Lehman showing blitz. There's a blitz.
Super job. You're a
All right, everybody, welcome to the Bud Berry, Bob and Beer podcast. I'm your host, Connor Robin, joined by Trevor Rogers and Stephen Brown. Y'all, it's been a minute since we've all been together. Last week, I didn't even say anything to you guys. I just took a flight to Philadelphia Wednesday for an academic conference and just like left you guys in the lurch, and then saw my stuff on Instagram. But Spring game. I mean, like, if you listen to this Thursday night, cool. If you listen to this Friday, it's a perfect primer for spring game Friday, Saturday. Steven, right before we got onto the podcast, you mentioned that the spring game time may be moved. It's already at 2:30. I know it's supposed to be kind of like a dreary, rainy, kind of sleepy afternoon kind of weather. I mean, like, do you think it gets moved? I mean, with the chance of lightning, spring game already like is sometimes shitty. I mean, you add lightning right to the mix, like it gets canceled real quick.
Yeah, the rumor is it's moved to 2:30 at the moment, but that is subject to change again. I think they're going to meet tomorrow, which is Friday. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, they have met this morning to see if they want to move it again. So right now, 2:30. Potentially maybe another move earlier, maybe a move later. I think it'll still be the same day. I don't see them moving it to Sunday by any means. Yeah, with the playoffs and church and everything. That's just too much to combat with. But right now, 2:30, but that is not, you know, a solid number at the moment.
Weather changes in Oklahoma. Who knew?
Yeah, and they've been,
it's kind of amazing,
been going on since like Monday. I think they met Monday to see if they want to change it to Friday.
Yep.
And they couldn't get that done with all the logistics, all the people coming in, the recruiting class, you know, everyone that has to work the stadium. So that was a no-go. So we'll see how they pull this off.
Yeah.
It really is kind of mind-boggling that springtime in Oklahoma, you know, to your point, this hasn't happened. This has only happened like what, once before that they've moved the spring. They've moved the spring game.
So 2019.
Yeah, they moved.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Something. It was like a Friday night light situation, but they have recruits.
That's
flying
right. They
in
moved
Saturday.
It to the night before.
Like if the recruits were coming in Friday, I think they'd move it. They would have moved it to Friday long ago. But since they already had everything scheduled for Saturday, who knows? I mean, like, but at the same time, they have so much money that they could get those guys in on the Friday. So I don't.
Yeah, well, this is partially the meteorologist's fault for being wrong about the weather all the time.
I mean,
like, you just have no confidence in like the 7-day schedule
at all anymore. Like especially in the metro.
Monday was supposed to be like tornadoes and whatever else, and I don't think it even rained here.
Like for 2 Mondays in a row.
Yeah.
Like,
so blame the weather, man.
Gorilla hail.
But also, it's kind of weird that OU just is having trouble nailing this down. Not sure exactly what's going on. Yeah.
Well, maybe they're celebrating the spring game on 4/20 a little bit early, and that's why they're slow movers.
That could be it.
Okay.
I heard that it's because Drake is going to play a concert at the spring game.
Sheesh. In the stadium or outside the stadium, like Ole Miss.
And Dabo's coming.
Do you think they'll bring back Tim Kush? It's like a.
It should. Timmy Kush.
Celebrity.
Yeah. Bring back Tim Kish. Just get him in a. Tim Kish, get him in a Hawaiian shirt, halfway buttoned up, tanned, cigar with some like
gold chain.
I don't know. Like, you gotta get him a gold chain. You gotta get him a sweet pair of sunglasses and call him Timmy Kush, and maybe recruit some linebackers. Who knows? Could have a really good time. He'll be hanging with Mitch McGarry the entire time on a unicycle somewhere.
I hear that was doing well. I think he owns his own like grocery.
Does he?
Mitch McGarry?
I think he does. I think he does.
I have a friend that knows him pretty well. And I'm pretty sure he's like a dispensary.
That is fantastic. Never give up on your dreams. That is wonderful. Mitch Gary.
Unicyclist and snake enthusiast. So there's that. But spring game happens to be on 420. That's the day. So many people will go to the game. Actually, I don't expect many people to go to the game because of the weather. It's supposed to be dreary, kind of again, sleepy, rainy. It's never really the atmosphere you obviously want. You guys mentioned like previously they moved to a Friday night light situation, which actually turned out really well, especially moving all the logistics. Lots of people are going to be at home just enjoying the morning, maybe enjoying a holiday if they celebrate that holiday.
Life.
And but like as a spring game commences, I mean, before we get into like another idea about the spring game, regarding the players and coaches, and Steven, I'll come to you first with this one. What are you looking for? Like, and it could be offensively, it could be defensively, it could be special teams. And I know we talked about this like a little bit like a couple weeks ago, but now knowing that the game is a couple days away, you know who's like kind of available for the game. What are you really looking for just at this game other than just get out of this game not injured because it's raining already? People might be slipping a little bit. What do you think?
I know a lot of the narrative is going to be on the offensive line just because we've heard about their troubles all spring. So everyone's kind of curious what that looks like. I think the real narrative should be probably on the defensive end, like the edges. If they're not winning these battles up front, if they're not getting around on these tackles, there's something wrong there. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at PJ Adebare, R. Mason Thomas, Danny Okoye. I'm looking at those guys to see just how much of an impact they have on this game on Saturday.
I feel like that's fair, right? Like, we're looking at some impact players or guys that could have an impact, especially PJ Adebare. Like you mentioned, he's got all the measurables, looking for the football IQ to really come through. And so we're looking at skill guys. And Trevor, before the podcast, we kind of mentioned like, yeah, the offensive line and defensive line, you can't really gauge what's going on there, especially early on in that season. And especially when Brent Venables is clearly looking for more bodies in the portal on the defensive line and on the offensive line, it's kind of a crapshoot because it's the same guys you already have. And so you actually don't know what you get at the end of the day. What are you looking for? Because you mentioned like, yeah, it's about skill position before we even started podcasting.
That's to me like the if there's something that I can just walk away from in the spring game, it's looking at, is this player faster and more athletic than this player? And in two units that I know that I feel pretty confident in being, you know, probably the most talented groups, which God, I can't believe I'm saying this, arguably the most talented groups that Oklahoma's bringing back next year. It's the receiving room, the receiver room, and it's OU secondary. I feel really, really good about the cornerback situation. I feel really good about the safeties group. And so like, what I'm curious to see, like, it's hard for me to look at like the offensive and defensive line situation because it is still very much a work in progress. Let me backtrack even just a little bit. What's the format? Is it ones versus ones? Is it
offense versus defense?
Okay. So it's offense versus defense.
I think it's right? Versus two.
So it's,
okay. I would assume so.
I don't know. I just know it's offense versus defense in the point system. I've not seen yet. It's like the Bob Stoops stuff again.
See, so I'm interested in seeing if we get any of those 1v1 type matchups, because I do want to see, you know, I do want to see I want to see how the receivers do against like, you know, like a Peyton Bowen, like, you know, everybody's seen the clip recently of Peyton Bowen making, you know, the insane pick there in the end zone that circulated just a couple of days ago. I want to see those types of things. I want to see, you know, how this defense does well in those one-on-one man coverage situations. And also I want to see like, you know, what kind of leaps, you know, what kind of route, type systems are we going to see from a Seth Littrell offense? You know, I'm very interested to see if we get kind of a glimpse into that. And then I guess just a little bit, you know, like I'm excited to watch Jackson Arnold spin a football again, sure. You know? So there's some things that, you know, you kind of hear, you know, the scuttlebutt that like, this is a quarterback that is a really talented, very good, physically imposing quarterback and is going to be a pretty good playmaker for the University of Oklahoma. But the Oklahoma fans have had such this amazing run of really, really tremendous quarterbacks. And even like Dylan Gabriel, who is a patchwork kind of guy, you know, seeing that transition, I am curious to see, like, take everything with what Jackson Arnold does with a grain of salt, because I don't know what kind of pass rush he's going to face, but also I don't know how the offensive line is going to look. I do want to see, you know, what kind of mistakes does he make in this? I'm more interested to see the mistakes that Arnold makes out of this versus the successes that he has against a pretty good secondary.
Well, so you heard it here first. Okay. Trevor Rogers is a hater looking for the mistakes all the time.
What else can you take away? Oh, yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I think Jaden Gibson is a name to watch in this game because
Fruits
out with whatever foot injury, maybe like a fractured foot, something like that. So that's going to keep him out maybe, you know, mostly through the summer. Jaden Gibson has a real shot to become the starter in that situation. Mm-hmm. Those three wide sets.
So
you have Nick Anderson, you have Jaden Gibson and Deion Burks. That's a pretty solid.
When is Angel Anthony supposed to get back? I mean, like he got hurt. Early on,
week one,
he got hurt in Texas game. He got hurt in the fourth quarter of the Texas
middle of the middle season. That's right. That's what it was. The middle season.
Or no, he got hurt right before halftime, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He got hurt. It was like he's trying to get a fumble or something like that. But I think Desaun McColl is another name that'd be interesting because he's moving around. He's at the will. So if they bring him as more of like a rusher, I think that's a pretty interesting look for that defense.
I'm interested to see too, because the name that keeps popping up, and sorry if that I've just missed it and like cut this out so I don't sound like too big of an idiot. But you know, Kobe McKenzie is a name that continues to like I hear that is probably gonna hit the portal. But he hasn't yet, and there haven't been as many departures on the portal side of things. I know we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but I am interested to see if he sees the field much at all and in what kind of role they put him in. Because I just kind of wonder if he's ever going to take that leap and if he's going to get an opportunity or if like the writing is on the wall. It really sounds like he's probably gone after Saturday.
I'm curious.
That's interesting.
I wrote down linebackers in particular, what I'm looking at this coming Saturday, because they're skill position guys. I mean, the defensive line should do stuff with the offensive line, just considering who you're bringing in, the continuity that's there, and that is not there for the offensive line, if we're being quite honest with each other, and in especially the film that like you can see coming out of practice from it gets bad sometimes. But of course, on the other end, of course, in practice, they pop some stuff off too. So linebackers in particular, yeah, like Steven, you mentioned that, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. Desaun McColl moving inside, actually playing that will spot. I wonder what that looks like. Goodbye to Shane Witter, who put his name in the transfer portal today. So I did not know he had more eligibility. I thought he was done.
He's like the Jordan Kelly of linebackers.
I felt like he had more time on campus than Caleb Kelly did. Like I don't know how that guy still has eligibility. It must be his seventh year. And like we talked about last podcast, even like, man, like, is it possible Jaron Canick gets squeezed out of this lineup? Or, like, is it possible that Kobe McKenzie gets squeezed out of this lineup? I mean, at the same time, like, Danny Sussman, like, the guy's coming back big as hell, but it doesn't seem to be slowing him down, and that's something else I'm going to be looking for. Does it actually slow him down, or is it becoming more athletic? And, I mean, like, if you got a guy like him, you've got Kip Lewis already there that you already really trust. then you start to ask yourself, like, okay, then who's gonna be the guys next up in case a guy like Stutzman does go down, because he went down last year. We saw it, and we saw how it impacted the defense. And then, of course, I'm just looking at the deep DBs, because we know how good the wide receiver room is. You already know how good it is. And like, that's before you name off guys like Brennan Thompson, right? Guys that won't get, you know, over 20 catches or over 30 catches, but they make impacts because they stretch the field and they can get the bombs downfield. But like you mentioned, Jaden Gibson was noted as the guy with Jackson Arnold with a lot of chemistry. For like you mentioned, Farouk is out. Dude's in a on a scooter and in a boot or in a cast. I know what that's like. So he's down out and for a bit. And then Deion Burks you got there. Then you've got, like you mentioned, Jaquez Petaway, and you got several guys. I mean, Nick Anderson and so many other guys that you can use there. And so I'm looking at wide receivers. That room's stacked. So I'm looking at the DBs. They're supposed to be good. We've heard plenty of times when they've been supposed to be good. But then sometimes that doesn't work out, like you mentioned, Steven, because you're looking at the rush. If they don't get any pressure on the quarterback, your defensive back's going to look like shit. I mean, they can only hold a route for so long. And right. If you don't get pressure on a quarterback, a DB can't grab on to a wide receiver, you know? So that's what I'm looking at too. But at the same time, another narrative we need to visit, Trevor, we were talking about before the podcast, I feel like we overhype spring games too much, especially because what are we realistically learning? And in particular, on a rainy Saturday where they're probably going to throw the ball a lot because they don't want to get guys washed up in the trenches and possibly hurt because they're already suffering for guys in the trenches. I feel like they're going to throw the ball around quite a bit. What can we gain, especially out of this one where it's supposed to be a rainy day? You have Jackson Arnold as your clear QB1 already. What should we expect? What can you get out of it?
I think it just has to be like your perspective of what you want to get out of it. It's so easy to take away, and I think most people do take away the positives from a spring game. If Jackson Arnold looks like shit for whatever reason, then maybe we do learn something, a little bit. But it's also at the same time, you can kind of rationalize everything away. Oh, the offensive line, it is struggling. The weather was bad. So on and so forth. But I don't really know what else you can kind of take away. I mean, if OU's offensive line is just getting like run over, I think I'm taking away that OU's offensive line is in deep, deep shit next year, potentially, unless they fix things in the portal, versus looking and saying OU's defensive line is going to be a monster next year, when we know that's not the case. Like, we know that these are the two big question marks going into next season. So you kind of hope that, you know, things kind of stand pat. And if you're going to learn something, you're probably going to learn the unfortunate things. If you're looking at it the way that I would look at it, which is, you know, through a very cloudy lens on a wonderful holiday.
Yeah. Very cloudy lens for some.
That's right.
It's real high on that spring game, if we're being honest.
That's right.
And that's right. Steven, the same question. Can we really learn anything, especially in the conditions in which the game is being played? Like, do you feel like we maybe learn more about the team, the coaching staff in particular, and NIL at Oklahoma, based upon the recruits and transfers that are visiting more so than the game? Because we know Jackson Arnold has a talent. We're very aware that Jackson Arnold has a talent. We're very aware of the offensive line. The defensive line probably needs some work. They need some work. And so it's like, and you know your strengths at wide receiver, you feel comfortable DB, linebacker. And so like, what can you learn? What can we learn from this other than just saying it's football, it's OU football in April, right? Like that's all you can learn about, I feel like.
Yeah, I think there's some takeaways, and you don't want to take away too much just because of field conditions. Obviously, they're not going to run, you know, much of their offense. They're going to keep it pretty vanilla on both sides of the ball. But you just want the obvious things to be obvious. So, like, I insinuated the defensive ends. Like, they should be winning the battles all day. Mm-hmm. And if the tackles are somehow winning the day, then you kind of raise questions about what's going on the edge. But you also want to see guys like Jaden Jackson. Like, he's been hyped up all spring. You want to see him go out and have a good day. You want to see like Jackson Arnold, maybe he doesn't complete the ball because of the bad conditions, but you want to see him making the right reads. Like, is he looking where he needs to look? So I think there's just the obvious things out there.
We talked about Jackson Arnold. Like, is he doing, is he making reads? Is it clear that he's turning his head? Is his footwork? Is he still flowing off his back foot? Like the youth in it and the talent again, like we're looking at, are guys bigger? Are they faster? Have they learned mistakes? Have they grown from last year at skill positions? But we know the skill positions are pretty good.
Like if dudes are just looking jacked up, you're like, okay, that guy had a pretty good offseason in the gym. So you know the strength and conditioning is working there. So it's just the obvious stuff. Anything else, like if you're worried about the offensive line, they come out and have a bad day, I think that's just an overreaction because we know they're looking for people in the portal. We know that's not the finalized offensive line.
Yeah. And so let's actually dive right on into anything recruiting. I mean, so in the last week, Oklahoma actually has gained two commits in Trent Wilson, defensive lineman, 6'3", 260, four-star guy, commits last week. And then Malik Hawkins, of course, related to the Hawkins family that's been through Oklahoma, that we already have a Hawkins on campus. DB 6'1", 175. He's rated as a three-star on pretty much everything except Rivals, where he's a four-star, also committing last week. Before we even talk about guys that are visiting, that are possible commits as transfers or as 2025 guys heading into the spring game, Steven, like, as far as defensive line goes and Malik Hawkins, what do these guys maybe bring to OU that maybe isn't there, or is this just continuously you're building depth with talent that has been evaluated?
Yeah, Trent Wilson's a guy. I kind of related it last podcast, like body type wise, he kind of looks like Chuka Ndulawe, just long limbs, but kind of just lean. I think he'll bulk up and play inside, but he's a guy that you're just stacking defensive line talent. Very strong for a guy that's just 260. He's not getting pushed around too much. He can easily grow into 290, 300 pound guy. So he's just a good foundation block. You stack him behind David Stone, Jane Jackson on the inside, and you're starting to have a lot of just really competitive depth along the defensive line.
Feels like, Hawkins, like one of those flat belly guys that has a lot of upper body strength.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to fit right in the SEC where the offensive line are just larger. They're just bigger dudes. So having the guy that's kind of long limbed and in the Big 12 where he kind of gets, you know, blocked underneath, he'll fit right in the SEC and you want any of those issues. Malik Hawkins, a guy that's really versatile. DB recruiting, I feel like every year they say this guy's a corner, this guy's a safety, yada yada yada, and it's always Cheetah. And Malik Hawkins kind of fits that mold. He plays corner, but at 6'1", 175, you can definitely see him fitting into that nickel, very athletic, eye for the ball kind of guy. But just another guy that, you know, kind of like Woody Washington, can he play corner? Okay, great. Do we need him to play, you know, Cheetah? Do we need him to play safety? He's a guy you can just kind of move around.
And then Oklahoma actually at war today, and you saw it on, everybody can see it on Twitter now. Phil Blitty from Indiana is no longer visiting, a defensive line transfer portal guy to Oklahoma for the spring game. He was supposed to be there tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, tomorrow. But he's not coming. And then Oklahoma's, there's some smoke coming out of the whole Dominic Williams situation at TCU. I know Todd Bates has his eyes set on him. And let's say Dominic Williams actually does commit to Oklahoma and decide to play for Oklahoma. I mean, and then I'll come right back to you, like, Steven, does he actually start for Oklahoma or get just significant amount of snaps? Because it seems like Oklahoma needs a guy like him.
Right. He's one of the better defensive linemen in the portal at the moment. And he's going to get some big time attention from Bama, LSU, pretty much any big time program. Texas. I know he has a scheduled visit to Texas coming up
right after the OU visit. I saw something today that Bama, LSU, and Tennessee were the offers from the SEC. Or excuse me, Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee were the offers in the SEC. I hadn't seen Alabama in there yet.
He's going to have his pick of pretty much wherever he wants to go, given his talent. Sure. So, I think he'll come in. He'll vie for starting time right away. He might not be the starter, you know, week one, but, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road, he's a guy that could definitely come in and play significant snaps for Oklahoma and even start at that point. But Blitty, we've been talking on Discord about Blitty all week. I have not been confident in Blitty even making it just because of the LSU visit coming up. I think that kind of just scratched him off OU's list. Dominic Williams is a guy that I think a lot of people have had their eyes on across the country. I don't think it's been any secret that he was going to enter the portal. And OU's just been kind of waiting on that date. So this is a guy that they've had their eyes on for quite a while, and they're going to put everything they have into this recruitment.
And so we will see what happens with NIL there and what they can promise him in comparison to others. I mean, the other schools that are after him, I don't imagine need as much help and could offer him as much starting as many snaps, quite frankly, as OU can offer him. And so, Trevor, do you think like that could be a legitimate like case that like, yeah, like maybe let's say OU NIL. Well, not maybe. OU's NIL is not as good as Georgia's. It's not as good as Ole Miss's. Not as good as LSU's. Not as good as like other schools that we've been talking about. Strictly from the SEC. Of course, now Oklahoma is an SEC school. Well, technically not until summer because they're still playing softball in the Big 12 or whatever you want to call it. But do you feel like the ability to have more snaps and more film could outweigh the NIL numbers that are going to be thrown at him, Trevor?
It's like marginal. It's the Saban discount, you know. It's like what you're kind of joking with, you know, like Alabama's NIL situation, from what I understand, is a little further down the ranks than, you know, some of the other schools in the SEC, but you went there because it was Nick Saban, right? And so, you know, I'm probably not the best person to answer this question, but
do you get the Todd Bates discount?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, you've got a guy, it's pretty damn good at what he does. And you are, you know, you're guaranteeing snaps, but money talks. And, you know, we saw the flip side, you know, Caden Green, who had the pick of whatever he wanted, getting the money, but I don't know. That was also, I guess, that's probably a bad example because I guess it was a position thing. He wanted to play tackle, I guess, right? But anyway, all's to say, like,
still unhappy.
I don't know. It's such a crapshoot. I do think that OU's got a chance. I think OU at the same time, though, like, if OU is going to be behind on the NIL a little bit, this is the time where you're getting into the point where you've got to wonder do you nut up or shut up? Like, well, if you're really going after this guy, you know, why would you do it in a half-ass way? Like, you need to have the money that, you know, you need to have the Brinks truck backed up. And of course it's not, you like, of course Georgia's going to be able to offer more, but OU's still got to be in a position to offer a significant amount of cash. And I don't know if that's happened yet via the portal, just kind of some of the things that we've heard.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, right? That, I mean, that Oklahoma, it feels like Oklahoma boosters in particular need a year in the SEC to understand what kind of money they're actually talking about. And Steven, you kind of alluded to Oklahoma maybe getting the Todd Bates discount, getting the Brent Venables discount a little bit there, but like maybe not moving the needle too much. Is that what you're saying?
Not too much. I think, and there's been this rumor out here for roughly a week that the Oklahoma's NIL has kind of very much improved over the past month. where they can be more competitive. Not necessarily on the means that Ole Miss or Missouri or those, you know, Texas A&M, where they're just going to throw around, you know, basically a blank check to a kid. Yeah. But OU is going to make this a very competitive offer. You know, he is a priority target. He's a guy, you know, if you're going to go into the portal and you need a guy in the spring, you're going to pay the maximum amount of dollars. That's just how it is, because everything in the spring is going to be inflated. So
they need it.
They know. Yeah. I think they know what Williams' number is and they're ready to approach it like that. But at the same time, you're the first visit. You put your number out there, you know, two visits down. It's like, hey, what are they offering you? We can
make that. They're going to price is right or ass. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of the risk of getting that first visit. But I think they're in very good shape right now.
Yeah. It's like, it's a double-edged sword at the first visit too. It feels like you get to make the first impression, but like you mentioned, I mean, those visits stack up and those numbers get bigger when you get prices righted out, and you feel like shit every time you get prices righted. And so, I mean, like,
I think this won't be drawn out very long. So he's going to visit this weekend. I think he'll have his visits wrapped up by next weekend and make a decision shortly after that. So there's not much time to kind of play around with the numbers.
And again, this is a supply and demand situation.
Right. Right. It's a fast moving market. Good God. That's such a weird thing to say. It's a fast moving market.
Free agency, you know, bro.
That's it. Where a lot of people are going to be a lot of money is going to be thrown around in the next week, and people are going to try to kind of want to nail things down. So you've got that as a factor. And again, the really might be the biggest factor going in is it's a starting position at the University of Oklahoma and the SEC. Like it just is. And there's not many programs that are going to be able to offer that and the cash.
Sure.
So you've got that to fall back on. I'm a pessimist. And even I'm feeling pretty good about this one.
Okay, and that's fair. And Steven, I know there are more 2025 guys and transfer portal guys coming in on the offensive line and defensive line in particular, because that Brent is like the most transparent goddamn head coach at Oklahoma since before Bob Stoops. He is incredibly transparent about everything, which everybody appreciates, but like, you know, save some secrecy. Keep some shit behind the curtain, Brent.
Some
like
mystery,
That's all I'm saying, man. Like, okay. Like I get it. I get it, but cool. But are there any other targets that you feel like Oklahoma has a really good chance with moving 2025 and transfer portal? Because we talked before the podcast, I do not. And we don't give a shit about the 2026 stuff anymore, because it's like we just mentioned, it's such a fast moving market recruiting these days, regardless, because of the money that gets shifted around, because of the visits, and because of conference realignment, frankly, as well. And so, like, are there other names, 2025 and transfer guys that Oklahoma is in pretty good position with, knowing that Oklahoma also has to cut from their roster, as we saw Shane Witter today, essentially, get into the transfer portal?
Yeah, there's Jermaine Lowell out of Louisville is coming in for a visit tomorrow. He's another defensive lineman, total 141 tackles, 12 sacks, and 25 tackles.
That's got to be priority number two, right? Those are the top two targets, right?
I think he's three.
Or is that offensive line kid from?
Well, defensive line, I think he's third on their list. I think they might be able to land both, Dominic Williams and Lowell, but there's a chance that they'll bring Jay Toy, I believe his name is, Toya, after out of UCLA. He's probably, if Dominic Williams isn't the number one defensive lineman in the portal right now, it's Toya. And he'll be at Texas this week, and we'll see if Oklahoma brings him in for a visit the following weekend after that. But I think Lowell, I think they could probably stack him and Williams and be just fine.
I mean, I'd feel just fine about the defensive line anyways. And
offensive
line targets are coming aboard. We just saw one, like, today, right? That came out today, like publicly anyways, that who's gonna visit and stuff I cannot remember the name. I'm pulling it up right now. No, at A&M, Utah. Oh no, no, you, you, yeah, sorry, Utah Center. Coley Fayu is taking Texas A&M, UW, and Oklahoma. But with the recent stuff that Trevor shared with us about Washington and DeBoer knowing that, I mean, breaking news, by the way, this happened an hour ago, about texts in from police reports that Tybo Rogers, there's a rape investigation showing the University of Washington football coaches discussing Rogers as he was being investigated for rape in early December regarding the Pac-12 championship and was back on the team. And the there's a coach clearly talking to Kalen DeBoer about it. And instead of texting back like an idiot, he FaceTimes him instead. And so it's I wonder how all that situation is going to go down. But regardless, I'm really curious to see what happens this weekend. We talked last time we talked to Steven a couple weeks ago. We said this could be like a three commit situation, maybe even more. Who knows? I mean, there's limited people coming. And of course, one guy just dipped out, which might suggest something, or it could just be coincidence. Who knows? Like we said, it's a fast moving.
I think the most likely is probably Branson Hickman out of SMU, the center. I'm kind of interested to see how OU kind of plays this because they do have the other center from Utah coming in. And I think there's another target out there that's maybe not in the portal just yet. So they have some options, but you have to kind of weigh your risk of whether, you know, are we going to risk it and try to get the Utah guys and go elsewhere? And we just passed up on Branson Hickman from SMU and now we're still in the same place. So it'll be very interesting to see how they kind of decide what to do in the situation.
Can always depend on good old Fabecchi Wee Woo. That's gonna be one of my favorite names for the entire season, and probably forever. Wee Woo. That's a very fun name, and a very exciting name and spelling, anyways. So I just want to get that out there. Spring game primer. Farouk is out. We talked about that earlier. Who I forgot who else is on crutches and a boot.
Akinkunmi,
that's right.
True freshman.
True freshman out of England. And he was actually making a little bit of noise. Of course, it's easy to make a little bit of noise when you're that big and have that much strength. And you just, again, kind of like what we talked about with Arda Bauré, you're just looking for football IQ to make sure like you can put those two together and you have a pretty fantastic player. And so Farouk's out, which gives more opportunity to other guys, which is actually kind of nice to think about. And in the long run, of course, you wish Farouk a quick return. I mean, like my ankle sprain is still an issue, y'all. I am still in a daggum brace. And so I'm here to say a break, or at least even a fracture, is better, because they're going to break it anyways if it's a fracture. It's better than a sprain that will keep you out for 3 months. Okay. That is better news. I was glad to actually see him on that cast instead of in a brace, because you would rather have that than a high ankle sprain any day because of where, especially the position that he plays. But let's talk about the spring game and the stuff that like actually comes out of the spring game. And Trevor, I'm going to come to you first on this one. I don't know if you guys have had time to prepare. I forgot to send the document. Sorry. Who is the breakout star that we never hear from again, a la Marshall Musil?
Breakout star that we never hear from again.
You always got a spring game star, bro. Always.
Oh, dude, I don't even know where to begin.
Say name. You say his name. We all know his name. It's Gavin Freeman.
But he's done that.
He's going to be spring game star. He's going to be spring game star.
Hasn't he been a spring game star like 2 years in a row, though?
He's going to do it again. And then they're going to call him G-Freaky. And then he's not going to do a lot in the season again.
Oh, he'll score a touchdown. He'll score like a 70-yard touchdown against
I don't know if he plays.
Like,
really?
He might play though. Yeah.
Are you alluding to something in the spring? Okay, I see.
he had a setback, or maybe it's in the winter. I'm not sure if he's back.
I don't know. Just to give an answer, I'm still a believer. You know, it would be cool to see like Brennan Thompson just go out and just light it up. I'm still not optimistic that Brennan Thompson is going to be a major contributor. So I don't like, it's not like he like fully disappears, but I could see him having like a big spring game. I don't know. Dude's fast as hell.
So. I feel like that's totally fair. Yeah. And again, we're both talking about wide receivers because we know that's OU strength. And I feel like they're going to be passing the ball a lot. Right.
Yes. Well, assuming, at least we don't have, we'll find out if we have an offensive coordinator that's not afraid to throw the ball in the fucking rain.
Oh, I don't. Seth Luttrell will definitely throw the fucking ball in the rain. I can tell you that.
Yeah, he better. Otherwise, I'm putting the sign in his house.
Yeah, I love how Oklahoman. I love how Oklahoman the fucker is. I love how Oklahoman he is. I love that shit. It's Southeast Oklahoma. I know he went to Southeastern after he transferred from OU, right?
And like one that like either Atoka or Antlers.
Oh, it feels like Atoka, but I could be wrong. Steven, you might be Googling. Who knows?
Muskogee.
Okay. Muskogee. Oh,
that's Northeastern.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No. Yeah, wrong. You guys are right. Eastern. You were right. You were closer to with Ada because it's Southeastern, but Muskogee's a little bit obviously further north, but still Eastern Oklahoma. But I love how Oklahoman he is. Steven, who is your breakout star that we never see again?
I've got a list. I got a list of these guys.
Is it one of the running backs? Also, because I feel like we have so many.
I thought so. Team. I thought Emeka Megwa. Dude is jacked. Dude might be the most jacked running back OU's had in a while. He always just seems to get so unlucky with injuries. Hasn't really seen any sort of significant role in that running back room, but I could totally see him. He's 6 foot 209 and just all muscle. So I could see Megwa doing something like that. You guys were saying Gavin Freeman. I'll say Jacob Jordan, the next Gavin Freeman on the line. Little white kid, 5'9", 186, but he's just scrappy. He's like the next Drake Stoops. I could see him doing something.
Is that the kid from Heritage Hall?
No, that's Andy Bass.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Andy Bass is back yet, but JJ Hester is another guy in the wide receiver room. Maybe he has a big day and hits the portal. I know Jackson Arnold's been kind of talking about him in some of the interviews there. And then Kobe McKenzie might have a huge day and just hit the portal as well. So there's a few names to watch.
And then, so I'll come back right at you with who is the breakout star we actually see often? Like I got
this one's
right
pretty easy. It's going to be Bower Sharp. Wow. Easy money. Very athletic. Everything we've seen in practice, he looks like the dude. He looks like the starter and he's going to play 60% of those snaps.
Okay. Trevor, what about you?
I really am excited to see, the Jaden Jackson experience. I think this could be a really big day for him. And I know that there's a lot of expectations for him, even with his youth next year. I'll go Jade Jackson.
I'm gonna go Jacoby Johnson. I'm excited about him. I think the OU coaching staff is really excited about him too. I got to see the dude play at Mustang a couple times in person. He's physical as hell. He's gotten to OU. He's gotten even bigger, more athletic, and much better coached. He played the last year in a couple games, and I liked what I saw then. And I know he's been getting a lot of reviews out of camp too. And so lastly, on that part, who is the shiny new toy that Oklahoma has not displayed yet? Maybe lay off of Deion Burks. Who's the shiny new toy that you guys are excited to see and why, Trevor?
Transfer guy?
Could be a transfer, could be a recruit.
Or true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Or redshirt freshman, maybe, that didn't play last year.
I'm really excited to see, again, Jaden Jackson, shiny new toy. And I'm really excited to see, is it Devon Sears?
Okay. Texas State.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah. I think, I'm very curious to see, you know, how he makes transition from Texas State to OU.
You hear his name, but then, you know,
right. And then that kid from, what's his name? The tight end that everybody's really high on, from that school in Louisiana.
Oh, Bauer Sharp. Yeah. Yeah. See,
Bauer Sharp. Bauer Sharp. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. 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 Bauer Sharp. Yeah,
I think you could throw Caden Helms in that conversation too, though.
For sure.
I was gonna bring that up later. Is that something that you want to talk about, Steven?
I don't know if that's my shiny new toy. I think I have some other picks there. But okay. I think it's something to talk about.
Okay.
Let's go. I mean, Michael Hawkins would be an easy one. He's been hyped up all spring. Gabe Eichert's over here talking like he's the next. Caleb Williams, just kind of sitting behind, but Caleb Hicks, maybe, that they want to see mm-hmm. Caleb Hicks come out because they don't have a for sure running back too. We haven't seen Javonte Barnes healthy yet. So that's kind of believe it when you see it situation. So I think Caleb Hicks is in there, that conversation.
I'm going to go same route. I'm going to say same room. I'm curious to see Sam Franklin. I mean, you put up those numbers, you're going to get attention. Now, will the offensive line give him lanes? That's a different conversation. But can he actually catch the ball to the backfield, similar to Gavin Sawchuk, and still remain on the field? Also, yes. So I'm curious to see him. Go ahead.
I think you go with two little honorable mentions here and just do Lewis Carter and Samuel Omosigo. Both have had really good springs. Sure. Both are extremely physical. Samuel Omosigo, I think, has been playing a little bit at the Cheetah as well. So two names to watch there.
And I like the idea of Des Malone. I think I'm really very, very curious to see him play. And I am incredibly curious to see David Stone play. I mean, that's a guy that none of us have mentioned so far. And I feel like we just need to put it out in the ether. I mean, like, it just needs to be out there. Okay. Like, you're wearing number zero. You are a top five recruit in the nation. Show it to me. I want to see it, because all I've heard about is Jaden Jackson, and maybe they're keeping your name quiet because you are the real deal. And if you're wearing number zero and you have that high upper profile, you better be damn good. That's what my expectations are. But hey, what do I know? The spring game, every year we talk about entertainment. And last podcast, we discussed, like, there's not really a necessity for entertainment. You just go for damn football. And Ole Miss kind of had a situation where they had entertainment around the stadium, but the people that actually wanted to watch the football, they could go in the stadium. So it's actually
exactly that should be the entertainment
family. So, like, is that the model to follow maybe in the future? Like, it's Trevor says yes already. It's already out there. Steven, like, your thoughts. I agree with Trevor. I feel like you make the entire shit storm around the stadium, and where you're not allowed to tailgate anymore, right? You make that entertainment, and then, like, for the fans that want to leave early or want to get there early, and you let the stadium be filled with the people that are going to stay there on a rainy day or on a sunny day next year, maybe.
Preach.
Is that what you're going? Is that what you think OU should be going for? Or is there really no perfect answer?
No. Here's my answer for this. I think this could be an interesting concept. Okay. Spring game at Oklahoma, everyone's, you know, you're going to get a lot of fans anyways. It's Oklahoma. It's football. They love it. Why not, as a collective, do like a meet and greet for some of these guys? And I don't know exactly the rules for this, but you're bringing in Ty Haywood, five-star offensive tackle out of Texas, you know, put up a tent, have fans come meet him. They can donate to NIL, that kind of thing. So I think some of the entertainment, you could box it into NIL and do really well.
Well, that's a good
idea. If the rules allow for it. I'm not exactly sure.
Have games, pay-per-play, and it all just funnels into your NIL.
It's on campus.
NIL account. Yeah.
But I think you I do think that's great.
I think that's actually a good idea. In terms of the feasibility, I would bet that that's probably a massive compliance headache. But
it's the NCAA, so like you can really do anything, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, the rules are made up. Nobody gives a shit. You're right. But I do love where you're at of accessibility, you know, and peeling back the curtain a little bit. I feel like college football is trending, and I'm going to sound like an old for this, into this, I don't want to say less family-friendly model, this less, I don't know, kind of historic vibe, and more into like a professional, you know, let's go get our suite, let's go to the F1 race, and let's go see the celebrities that are here. Right. You know, it's a big time event. It's expensive. It's hard to get to experience that. And when you have an event where, you know, let's say that they pack, you know, 50,000-60,000 in the stadium this weekend. I think with the weather, I think 50,000 is probably pretty damn good. You've got an opportunity to really, again, in terms of speaking to NIL, you've got an opportunity to make this such an up close and personal event for the fan base that needs to be energized on the NIL front. Again, open up facilities, open up access to players or whatever it is, or recruit like something, you know, remove some of the distance, so to speak, get back into your grassroots a little bit, make it back into your community's football program. And so I still think the main event is let's all go celebrate, you know, this one Saturday in the spring, let's go celebrate our favorite thing to do, which is watching, you know, the Oklahoma Sooners play football. But really it's more or less, it's like, it's fan appreciation weekend. It's, mm-hmm. it's come down, come tour the stadium. Let's do other things, other activities that isn't just, you know, a DJ out in front of the stadium getting everybody high. And that's fine. That's really cool. But I think you have an opportunity to make something where the fan base really gets to feel again, this is my program, this is my hometown. And I think it'd be a missed opportunity to not try to do something like that. And I think you could pull a shit ton of NIL by doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, like you mentioned, the best kind of ability is availability and accessibility, and to afford fans more of that experience, and to also like show them what, honestly, what your NIL dollars, what your dollars could go to for NIL.
Yeah, what is your investment being put into?
Exactly. And again, that's what you want to see. You want to see those returns. And I think that would be like actually a legitimate, great idea. So somebody that listens to this podcast, reach out to your NIL collective and make Steven one of the associate producers of how to make this shit function, because it has gotten off the ground so slowly, but is now seemingly buzzing a little bit. But wish, of course, you had it buzzing a little bit more, and we'll see maybe that come to fruition in the fall or in the following spring after this coming football season. And so let's talk about something we mentioned earlier. The tight end room is going like from nothing to something seemingly pretty quickly. I mean, like when you turn on YouTube, it just cycles through videos. It just doesn't stop anymore for the most part. And I saw that Eddie Radosovich, I saw him and Stoya talking about something. I was watching like Thunder highlights, so it's got to OU highlights, so it must have been going for a while. And Eddie said that Oklahoma tight ends only had 20 catches last year. Stogner had 17 of them. I can't remember the other guy's name, had two of them. Blake Smith had two of them. And then McIntyre had that one early in the season. And I mean, with the room they have now in Bauer Sharp, you got Jake Roberts, you got Devon Mitchell, you got Caden Helms, you got Caden McIntyre. I mean, like, feels like the tight end room is going like from like almost zero to like not hero, but zero to 100 pretty quick as a turnaround as a unit. I mean, but at the same time, I want to take that with a grain of salt because of how not great the tight end room has been the last 2 years. And so, Steven, I'm coming to you first with this one. I mean, how much of a factor do you expect the tight end room to be this coming season? Because last season you had 20 catches. I mean, do you expect more than 40 this upcoming season? Do you expect them to double production considering the bodies they actually have available currently?
Yeah, I think they'll be able to double that pretty easily. Bauer Sharp obviously is becoming a star in practice. We'll see if it translates to the field, but you just have so many more bodies. And like Caden Helms has been brought up. He's a great pass catcher. If he gets on the field, I think he could have an extremely great season for Oklahoma. But at the same time, like you look at the offensive line, some of those troubles, the tight end position is like the perfect position for a quarterback to just dump the pass off. Like Braden Willis, when I'm blanking on his name, but he was always Gabriel. Just that outlet guy. Gabriel, exactly. Yeah. The guy that went to Oregon. Yeah. but he was just always just like an outlet guy. And I think Bauer Sharp, I think Caden Helms, I don't know if Devon Mitchell is just there yet, but he's a guy that could be, you know, that outlet guy for an offensive line that just kind of struggles early on.
And I feel like that's fair. And Trevor, like, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, like, again, Oklahoma had just Braden Willis, essentially, and then they had whatever the hell you want to call that situation was last year. And now, like, you're going to your third year. Caden Helms seems to be healthy. McIntyre's got another year in strength and conditioning program, getting a little bit bigger. You bring in Devon Mitchell, who already is a grown-ass man at the age of, like, 17. You bring in Jake Roberts, a guy from Baylor. And you bring in a guy like Bauer Sharp that Steven has mentioned, and also you just hear it out of camp. They're interviewing him like crazy because the guy is seemingly making an instant impact already. I mean, how much of a factor do you feel like this room becomes this season, especially for a novice quarterback at the college level in the SEC?
I think it goes back to you know, I in terms of like physical ability, Mitchell is, I'm really excited about his long-term, and I think he can make an impact. But Bauer Sharp continues to, like what Steven was saying, you know, hearing the same thing, he continues to impress in camp. Like he's going to make an impact. I think schematically is what the possibly the thing that I'm most excited about, because if Seth Luttrell sticks to Seth Luttrell type football that he's done in the past, and if it and again, I'm just going to go back to a kind of Lincoln Riley-esque take on the raid. You know, Lincoln Riley was really good about how to utilize that hybrid tight end position. And I think you've got different body types in your room right now that it's going to give Luttrell options. And I think just comparatively, I don't know, you know, how important tight end was to Lebby. It seemingly wasn't. And maybe that was, again, just kind of like personnel. So you do have an elevated personnel, you do have depth. But you also, I'm excited you have a guy that has a track record of really liking to utilize the tight end as that X factor type position. I'm very excited about the trajectory. And so, and going back to your point of like, what shiny new toys am I interested in? Mitchell, for sure. The five-star freshman tight end.
You know, I think it's a great point to bring up, especially the array of personnel he has. And add in Ivan Kerrion to the mix, a 6'5" wide receiver who could easily pack on some weight and become that flex tight end as well. I mean, like, he's a guy I feel like that will see the field. So I'm really curious.
Jay has been hyping him up all spring.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Because, like, he's the guy that makes plays, and he's the guy that creates mismatches. And that's what you're ultimately looking for all over the field, especially if you're going to spread it out wide like Luttrell also does. And like, just like Jeff Lebby did, but he does a little bit more kind of a power run kind of spread and kind of sort of game. So I'm really curious to see how that works out. We talked about it earlier. Witter obviously went to the portal. We're talking about other guys hitting the portal possibly, like Kobe McKenzie. Who are other names that we expect? Because Oklahoma has to have guys portal out and has to do all these things because they're over the scholarship limit. And so, like, who else do we expect maybe to be in the portal within the next week and a half?
I could see a defensive back going in because it's just so deep at that position. Like one of the younger guys, maybe.
Jaden Rowe.
Yeah, I could see that. Although he has finally kind of turned a corner, I guess, this spring. But he's been pretty quiet for the first, 3 years? This is his third year. So he's a prime candidate. Maybe a running back. I'm not sure. But so you have to lose somebody.
That's another thing.
They'll do that thing where they'll, you know, take like a older classman and take a scholarship and just make him an NIL guy and just free up a scholarship. So I think they'll do that for a couple of guys, but you still have to trim probably three off this roster, maybe more depending on how much you have to bring in.
I mean, you do hear, you know, we hear from some of our friends that we talk to that say like, you know, like the number doesn't exist anymore. Like this scholarship limit is kind of irrelevant at this point. You know, obviously OU's got to do cut guys. You know, again, I go back to, I'm really interested to see, you know, does Kobe McKenzie see the field this weekend? I just kind of keep getting the vibe that he is kind of the odd man out. And if there's a, you know, kind of a bigger name that may take people by surprise, you got to wonder, like, is it in the cards for Kanick to stick around at OU for the long haul? You know, I know that like Brent seems to still really kind of believe in him. But there's just something that hasn't fully clicked on yet. The dude's got the physical attributes, like to play that cheetah position. But, you know, Kendall Dolby came on so strong. And you look at, you know, everywhere else, you know, kind of in that linebacker room or, you know, in that cheetah position. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's potentially the biggest name. I'd be mildly surprised, but if there's a big name that potentially comes out and goes into the portal, maybe Kanick or, like I said, Kobe McKenzie.
And Steven and I discussed Kanick maybe possibly to the portal. I mean, of course, we were hypothesizing, but we're speculating on the idea of like him possibly being nudged to the portal a couple weeks ago. In a segment where we're doing this or that, it's like, what's more likely, Kanick being pushed out into the portal or Danny Okoye pushing for starting snaps? And it would definitely talked about it was more likely maybe that Kanick would be hitting the portal, but we'd love to see Okoye get those snaps. So I think it's an interesting question to bring out. So, and also coming back to shiny new toys, Danny Okoye, everybody wants to see that happen because he is not new to football. And so, like, he doesn't really have to worry about the whole football IQ situation. It's just the maturity of his body.
It's just
and
physical
else.
Maturity. And that's going to happen.
And nuance with Brent's playbook, which is, like, you know, like 5 inches thick, which is ridiculous. But
I think there's a rumor earlier about Pettaway maybe hitting the portal.
I mean, I could see it.
I kind of talked to some people. He seems like he's very happy.
That's good.
Very happy with what's going on.
I'm still excited
about
him.
He's very involved. He's been running with the ones in like four wide sets. So I don't know if that's, you know, maybe something changes over the weekend, but I know that rumor's out there and probably people want to hear about it. That's just kind of the latest update there.
As long as he puts on weight, I'm good because that guy came in real small and I just feel like he needs to put on weight. But no, it wouldn't surprise me either way. I mean, I'm happy to have him, obviously, at the wide receiver room because that you stack talent on talent. I mean, you're going to get a great product. But if he leaves, I wouldn't also surprise me at all in any capacity. And so, I mean, we were talking about linebackers. Steven, you mentioned it earlier. Desam McCullough, no longer really a cheetah guy. A guy that's kind of moving inside to the linebacker position at the will. I mean, what do we make sense of this? Is it just like him not being able to do much in pass pro, or not pass pro, but in the passing game on passing downs, and wanting to keep him in a stationary spot where he can actually thrive? Or is this like, what do we feel like this move is intentionally?
I think the cheetah spot's just so deep. Then you also look like McCullough, Indiana, when he had that breakout season as a true freshman, he was just a rush edge. And if that's what he's great at, you know, Oklahoma can kind of utilize those talents there and move him closer to the line. Not to say that he won't play cheetah, because I think they're just kind of experimenting at this point in the season, or in the off season. But I think they just see him more, you know, 6'5", what, 240-ish. And if they can get him close to the line there, perfect.
Trevor, what do you think about him moving inside instead of having to sub him off on third down packages because the other team may be throwing the ball, and now he can just line up in the wheel spot?
Yeah, I love what Steven said about, like, you know, utilizing his athleticism and being able, like, to be flexible on the football field is going to give OU options, because we did have concerns about the pass rush next year. And so you're still kind of in this experimental mode. You know, Adebuare still got some question marks. You know, is Ethan Downs going to be able to do, you know, but no, I mean, like, I'm giving Ethan his flowers, like, sure. Like, I'm going to give him his flowers. Like,
I'll believe it when I see
he
it.
Had a
I mean, I wouldn't
great
see him
season last year. I don't believe in him.
There's physically. Just limitations.
Exactly. Yeah. Limitations, he's limited physically versus, you know, Desa McCullough is not. And so I wondered, you know, can his body be molded a little bit to hit that outside position as Adebuare continues to learn, you know, the football IQ to his game. So I like moving him closer to the line. I'd be curious to see, like, I like him moving him further, you know, in the middle of the field, closer to the line, and then potentially, yeah, utilizing him outside. I think OU's got options for him there. So I think it's a good fit.
I just keep on thinking about how Armisen Thomas had that job until he got hurt, and then Ethan Downs took over. That's why I don't believe in Ethan Downs.
I think they would play both.
He has all his limitations. And I think because of that, they end up playing both of them. And, like, because of the amount of talent that they have and or don't have, especially down where their positions are, quite frankly.
Right.
And again, unfortunately, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Armisen Thomas, not present, not available. Guy got
he's out there now.
Again. And so he's out there now, but, like, it's you just hope that they stay healthy so people don't call for Schmitty's head again, because, you know, it's the offseason workouts. And so something that also happened again, Nick Evers transferring from Wisconsin, just saw on the timeline just recently. Man, like, I was actually really surprised by the amount of transfer guys out in the spring. And Steven, you said this not long ago, that you're like, hey, there's going to be a lot of guys out in the portal in the spring. And for some reason, I thought there would not be. Am I, like, just naive in thinking that there would not be that many players in the portal? Or is it just that there are not that many guys in the portal? There just happen to be, like, decent candidates in the portal that are worth getting in the, again, supply and demand?
I think you're somewhere in between, because a lot of people expected this just to be a massive portal. And I don't know if this is technically what you would consider a massive portal class, quote unquote. But you do have some really good names, especially in the defensive line. I think a lot of people kind of caught off guard with how much defensive line talent is in the portal. But you also look like a guy like Jaden Rashada coming out of Arizona State. Like, I don't think anybody expected Jaden Rashada to jump into the portal. And now I guess there's some rumors that George is involved there. So,
yeah,
I think the talent is better than people expect. I don't think the numbers are quite what people expected.
And Trevor, what do you think about this entire thing? I mean, and again, like, I feel like the numbers would be low, but that's not the case, or at least not the numbers of, like, high profile candidates that I expected in particular. I mean, what do you think about this? Is this open markets again? Like, it's a kind of like a if we want to dabble into a little bit of, like, you know, Premier League, like soccer, like, is this the transfer window opening up once again for everybody to, you know, buy? Literally, this is what's happening. It's everybody's buying the player with the NIL. And of course, you can talk about your scheme and all the other stuff. Like, is the transfer window opening up once again to everybody, like, wheeling and dealing?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. And to your point, you know, and you guys feel free to, like, you know, tell me if I'm wrong here, but definitely about the, you know, in terms of numbers that you're seeing, you know, not surprised there, just kind of in this era of college football. But the only really kind of big surprise for me is what Steven said, is that there's been more defensive line talent kind of floating around in the portal than I ever really anticipated. And it's just because that's the market, that's the demand. And so, but otherwise, you know, you're seeing guys like that running back from Colorado, you know, hit the portal today, and his dad was on Twitter, you know, like, if my son's not RB1, we're taking our talents somewhere else. And it's, you're just going to see a lot of bullshit like that, where there's
Friday Night Tights right now, but now they're being paid.
Yes, exactly. They're and so like, straight up, like, there's buyers out there right now that we're still kind of wondering, like, how well do you play the portal? You know, they think there's still a lot of experimentation and taking guys that have gone and developed at, you know, major D1 schools, FBS schools. And if you've got a market out there to go make, you know, $5,000, $10,000 a year more than what you were making at, say, Colorado or USC or LSU, sure, why not throw your name out there? And that just seems to be...
Yeah, I mean, that's what Sanford did.
Maybe, again, that's my old man take. Again, it's just like, it's the kids and the money, and they're just going out there to get the money. But why wouldn't they when there's buyers? Yeah, there's a shit ton of buyers out there.
I think there's, like, the defensive linemen are probably starting to realize, like, hey, if I'm a defensive lineman, I have one productive season, I can make a lot more money in the portal than where I'm at. Yep. Or I can, you know, negotiate heavier. But you also have, and it's kind of like, you go back to, like, between 2014 and, like, 2018, when, like, the 7v7 thing was just massive. Like, uncle and dad want their money too. Like, they've always wanted to play agent. Trainer wants to play agent. And they're just in these kids' ears all the time.
So I'm telling you, it's Friday Night Tykes, which I'll probably watch after we get into podcasting, because I'm in it for the parent drama that, like, is
you
basically
gotta go,
like,
see, what's his name?
They're basically tipping out their kid to, like four different other teams in practice. Like, oh, this kid's super fast, right? And then, like, I actually, like, looked them up, like, years later, and, like, some of them were on, like, had the actual rivals profiles. Some of them are Latrell McCutcheon, who is now on his third school. So we'll see all that stuff. The funnest part of that about that show is all the parent drama that happens, not actually the games, because that's
not when Day-Day, you know, broke his
that's
arm.
That's all what it's about. That's
not
all,
when Day-Day broke his arm.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's all I've got, y'all. You guys have anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug?
Definitely join Discord, because it is popping right now. The transfer portal thread, especially, because there's just so many names coming in and out. OU's getting involved in a few. There's always names that people are kind of watching. So that's been pretty active all week.
And Trevor?
Yeah. Last note, you know, we're talking about this, you know, spending so much time and effort. You know, people are talking about the demise of college football and in the portal and NIL and whatever. I think it's bad in college football. If anybody's seen what's happening in college basketball in the last week and a half,
Jesus Christ.
College basketball is fucked. Like, you're seeing kids that are transferring 3-4 different schools, and that market is even crazier. And so some part of me is, I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, don't care about the LNC anymore, let college basketball at OU die. Like, I'm just like, I don't even want to get involved in this mess, because it is a disaster. Like, and the Friday Night Tykes type of things, like, I don't know if you've ever been to an AAU tournament, like a
oh, it's bad, it's bad.
It is insane. So, you know, college football fans, suck it up just a little bit, because it could be worse. It could be way worse.
I endorse both of those messages. Join Discord. 100%, especially on this Saturday with spring games happening, if you're watching from home especially. And
Are you guys going?
I am not going to that game. I mean, like, I'll be late. Sorry. I would rather have a comfy couch and watching the game in a dry weather in a temperature controlled house than actually going to the game. That maybe you might label me a bad fan. It's a glorified practice that they're probably gonna have a running clock because of lightning and other stuff. I'm just waiting for any equipment stuff coming out. And I also echo Trevor's statement on, like, hey, if you think NIL is bad, go to an AAU game where there are scouts and there are parents and there are coaches there. It's not fun for a lot of people unless you're really, 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 really good. And then it's really fun for you because everybody surrounds you with thoughts and money and offers. So I would echo both of those sentiments because it will teach you a lot about how all this is going to eventually play out or eventually cause legislation, for being quite honest, into NIL. But anyways,
collective bargaining.
Yeah, that's I was going to mention earlier, collective bargaining agreement. It's going to happen. There is a collision course for that. There's a collision course for that to happen in the future. And we're going to save that for another pod, but we're going to go ahead and sign off. Thank you guys for listening. We've been a lot more frequent with the podcast this spring. And it's something I was talking to Steven about this the other day, really made an admission to do more of, because last year was just not a thing. And this year it has certainly been a thing. So we really appreciate you guys for your continued listeners and the guys that, and our new listeners as well. Appreciate you guys as well. You guys can follow us on Twitter, especially. You can follow me at @K_Morabian. You can follow Steven at @OUpdatedUSB. Follow Trevor at @TrevorRogers_1. Again, thank you guys for listening so much. Join the Discord. It'll be in the bio of this podcast. It'll be in the link provided on Twitter and whatever medium you need. It's a simple link. Just tap on it. You'll take it right to the app, and then you just get in for free. And the Discord is free, where we discuss disclosed information. And I think everybody should get in on that. It's a good time, and we have a random lots of other channels. So anyways, we'll talk to you guys next time. Check you guys later.